Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I can't believe you're the age you are and you've not seen giraffes run on a TV show. What?
And the bulldog.
Long-range toddy. How would you make that up?
Someone did.
On WGR.
Sorry, I got a spit take on a mic over here.
Someone did. It's great.
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, none of that. No more of that. Very serious. This is a sports show. Should not be funny. Sports.
It is.
My teeth are clenched.
Remarkable to me that live, unintentionally, we got such a great sound out of you on that.
Yes.
Like, it is really, really something.
Yes.
That is unedited. Joe did not fool around with that. It just happened just like that.
Joe didn't boost it?
No.
Nope.
It's all
untouched.
That's just real, man. There's no, yeah.
I wonder why I just decided to take a drink right now. I mean, maybe that was some subconscious thing at work.
There's no auto-tune or anything. It just
it's not spliced in.
Right.
Joe, do you know how to splice? Do you ever have to splice anymore?
I'm not quite sure what that even...
Do you still call it splicing?
Yeah, maybe that's not what it's called.
When you move parts around to form like a taped segment or something, you
splice
it together?
I would just call that edited.
Editing.
Yeah.
It's editing, right, yeah.
Do you still tape shows? Do you say you tape, I'm going to tape that, or do you...
Record.
You ever say tape? Because you never taped.
Not really.
I'm going to have to tape...
I mean, I have taped
Game of Thrones
like way back when. But
you have taped,
yeah. Right. No, I'm saying record. Like I'd had it. Like I'm not that young. Like I've recorded stuff on VHS, but like that would have been taped. But no more.
Yeah. I used to have to splice big like reel to reels. Interviews would be recorded on them, or like Bill's highlights. And I can remember having to like use a market on a. Cut it a certain way and then tape
with a razor blade.
Yeah, with a razor blade. The tape deck had a spot on the front center of it where you could pull the tape up, you find the exact spot, you got to mark it with a little piece of chalk and then cut it and then put it together and tape it and then hope it you can't hear it when it rolls by. You can't even hear like a click. That's a perfect edit. Like where the tape was spliced together. Yeah, I'm 54.
I'm just thinking about like taping shows, how often I would do that or ask my mom to help me do that, and it would just be so precarious. Like, why should that have ever been precarious? Mom, can you please tape this at this time on this channel? I have already set the TV, the box, to be on that channel. Now it doesn't matter what channel you're on. You just go to the guide and push the red button.
Right.
I already set the – don't worry. There's not that much here. I already set the box to channel 80 so that you would be able – all you have to do is push record on the VCR at 5 o'clock. It's all you have to do is right at 5. You could even start earlier if you want. But if you start earlier, that's all wasted. Like, you're wasting space. You can't, it's not like you just go back and I didn't have the razor blade or the acumen to go back. Like, that was just going to be wasted. So you'd want. And you know what this was for me more than anything else? I mean, every year this became a challenge, and I never – perfected it. The Super Bowl marathon.
Oh, right.
The NFL Films Super Bowl marathon on ESPN the night before the Super Bowl. And as each year passed, maybe that would start a half an hour earlier because there'd be the latest one.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two VCR tapes, half an hour shows, extended play, right? EP.
Right.
meant 6 hours.
Right. You're not going to get great quality video out of that, but still.
Right. The worst quality.
It's bulk. You're going to get a lot. Right.
The most space.
Right.
6 hours. So I could get 12 Super Bowl highlight shows on one.
Right.
I mean, that's what should happen. And so I would have the timer.
Mm-hmm.
And it would happen overnight. It would the thing would start at like midnight. And then I would have to get up right before, say it started at midnight.
6 a.m.
I'd have to get up right before 6 a.m. on Super Bowl Sunday. This is when it would be on.
Uh-huh.
And change out the tape.
Yep.
And then start at Super Bowl 13. And I always wanted to make sure I did that because that was a good one.
Okay.
Super Bowl 13 was a good one.
Which one is that?
Pittsburgh, Dallas 2.
Okay.
So I had to be on time for that. And depending on if the thing started earlier, as the more Super Bowls came along, they had to get to their pregame stuff. So they didn't want the Super Bowl marathon. Before there was like ESPN2, they didn't want the Super Bowl marathon going into the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'd have to get up in the middle of the night, probably earlier than 6, and make this change and then go on. But something always went wrong.
Right.
Either 1 year I would have maybe forgotten to push record. Because you would have to push play and record at the same time.
God, things were so hard.
Right? You'd have to push play and record at the same time,
kids,
maybe?
Let me tell you how hard it used to be.
I think it's getting across.
It used to be so hard.
And so you have to get up and do that. Yep. And then the next wave, you know.
Well, yeah. And what? It's ESPN 2. So if they have some event on that goes past midnight, then the Super Bowl marathon isn't starting at midnight.
That would happen,
so
too.
So you got the end of some bowling or
college basketball, whatever, West Coast Conference.
Yeah, whatever. It's just there. You're like, oh! And like, so now you're cooked. You not only have you wasted space, so these tapes aren't going to be perfect, which I know would drive you insane. It also would drive me insane, because what you want is to hit play when you put that tape in fully rewound and have it be the beginning of that first one, and then just, but no. So now you're going to have the end of the last one clipped, and it's going to be on a new tape. And like,
exactly.
Ah!
They would either push it all back, or they would start one late, whichever. Either way, you had to do something the next year to fix it.
Right.
And I remember, now I'm just going to go, I'm going to go super geek on you here. I'm going to take this risk. So, 1 year, I didn't realize this at the time. So, you know those shows? And there were the shows, and then they had a thing where they would have Jim Simpson, the announcer Jim Simpson, record a little intro to them. Mm-hmm. That's how he would introduce the old Super Bowl. And he would sit in a chair and tell you some, like Sable did later. They'd tell you about the game. And so that would be part of the show. But then at some point in time, there was more to the show that they would replace that with Jim Simpson. So they were actually cutting out from the original broadcast.
Oh, wow.
And then at some point in time, they went back to the original broadcast.
So now you want those.
And now I want those.
Right.
I want those. I want the scene at the beginning of the Super Bowl VI one, where 5 or 6, where the guy is trying to pick up the tickets that were left for him. And the lady at the counter is very nice, and she says, I don't have any tickets for you. And he's like, really? And he just can't. It must be some mistake. And he wants to report her to her manager and everything like that. Can we start over? Can we start this show over?
Yeah.
Can there be can someone come in and replace this part of our show with something interesting?
Oh, I've loved every second of this, but I don't know. I won't share with you my worst stupid VCR story. We should move on.
Is there one?
Is
it porn?
No, it's not porn.
Okay.
It involves The Price is Right.
The Price is, you're not going to tell us? It involves The Price is Right? You're just going to drop it?
My best friend still to this day was a roommate of mine in the heyday, all right? In the mid 80s. It's three of us living in this house together on Potomac. Fun apartment, great, lots of whatever. It was nuts. And Dave worked at Pizza Hut. And so he'd go, you know, early, worked lunches, so he'd go early. And if my other roommate, Brian, and myself had the day off, we'd just be sitting around and, like, just doing whatever we were going to do, which might have involved drinking the cheapest beer we could possibly get our hands on, even at 11 o'clock in the morning. So one of these days, we're sitting there, we've got, you know, the setup, you know, the TV, the VCR, and we want to tape something or watch something maybe. I don't even know. No, we wanted to tape. Something was going to be on that we wanted to tape. And we noticed that we couldn't access set up the tape because Dave was already taping something.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, well, what's it taping? What's going on? Well, it's taping Channel 4, and it's 11 o'clock in the morning or 11:15 in the morning. We're like, he's taping The Price is Right? What the hell is... What?
There's no doubt I did that.
This has got to be a mistake.
Definitely did
There that. Is no way that my... No, there's just no way Dave is taping The Price is Right.
Why not? Because of this guy? He didn't seem like the type?
Yeah, well, he does now, and we were pretty good friends then, but it just seemed like a weird thing to tape. It's on every day, and like, you got to see every episode of The Price is Right? We just couldn't believe it. We thought it has to be a mistake.
So you stopped it.
We stopped it and started recording something else. And I don't know if we replaced the tape or if we even used the tape he had in the VCR to record what we wanted to record. Whatever we did, Dave came home, and I mean, 2 minutes after he gets home. Hey, who messed with the VCR? I was recording something. I had it set to record something. What happened? We're like, we wanted to tape something. We saw you were taping The Price is Right, so we just stopped it and recorded our thing. He's like, I tape The Price is Right every day. And he went to his room. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, we really made Dave mad. Like, Dave's pissed because he missed today's episode of The Price is Right.
Well, would he just, like, go in? I don't even say this disparagingly. Would he go then and like write down what happened on the show?
I don't know.
In a notebook? Like here were the pricing games?
I think it just was what he gets home from his long day of serving, you know, pan supreme pizzas to people, and he wants to watch The Price is Right. And it's on while
totally
he's at work, so he wants
reasonable.
To watch. He likes The Price is Right, so he's going to watch. And I had no idea about this, about my friend, but turns out that he was pretty mad. I mean, he got over it. We're still dear friends, but it was... We just assumed...
He didn't stay mad for 30 years.
There's no way he's taping The Price is Right. That's crazy. Who would tape The Price is Right? Dave.
Have been his favorite show.
One of them anyway. So that's it. I'm done with the VCR now. Kids, there used to be things called VCRs.
Well, I mean, I could... I can see all that. Like, that all sort of... I get it.
I can now, too, in retrospect, like looking at it now, I get it. But at the time, it just kind of blew my mind.
And you know what? The Price is Right is a great show.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially then. We're talking like the late 80s.
Mid 80s, yeah, right.
That was a great show. Maybe it's still good.
Don't know.
That was a great show. I mean, yes, for a lot of reasons. Which games are they going to pick today? It was different every day.
Yeah.
Unlike Jeopardy.
I guess that's why you would tape it.
Yeah, you would tape it if you really liked
Plinko. I really cost Dave a chance to see Plinko. That's what I was going to say. Or the Yodeler.
Yeah, the Yodeler. Cliffhanger. Joe, is it Cliffhanger or Cliffhangers?
Cliffhangers.
I think it is, too. If you wanted to see Cliffhangers, you had to do that. Because... I don't think Plinko was even around by 85, but you would have to do that or else, you know, you could miss it. Every day was different. How many games would they have had at one point in time? Like 30 games? Would it have been that many?
I never watched it that much to really tell you. I know some stuff, but I don't, you know.
I can remember the, you know, slight disappointment some days watching The Price is Right with which games were on.
Okay.
And there would be these games where... Where's Dan Sontag when you need him? There would be these games where all they had to do was, like, is this the right price or not? It would be something like $3,000-ish. So a dinette set or something would be.
Mm-hmm.
And this game probably had a name, but there was nothing to it except, is this higher or lower, or is this price right or wrong? And you would guess, and that was the whole game. And like maybe they had this game for when another game ran long or something.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, like what a letdown. I mean, I want to see the cool. I want to see the Bob Barker putting. I want to see that. I mean, I'm taping this show. He better be putting like, you know, once a week. I better get hole in one or two. This was cool. This is when it was cool before or two, before they ruined it with giving Bob Barker or the contestant like a mulligan. That's really when the world turned for the worse. That was the official moment when on The Price is Right,
it all went
to hell. They gave the contestants a second putt at it.
Terrible.
But yes, it'd be different every day. And then you what the Golden Road, Bulldog.
I don't remember the Golden Road.
And I know somebody right now is listening going, yes, the Golden Road. The Golden Road would be long. A show with the Golden Road would be one where they would do that other game because Golden Road took a long time.
Right. I think I do remember the Golden Road. I mean, I can't lay it out for you, but I feel like I can see it.
Golden Road was a prize that had 3 digits in the price, then a prize that had 4, and then a prize that had 5. And you had to, like, one number would be off, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to figure out which number was off. And I don't know how you do that with, like, the numbers at the end of the price. Unless it's a 5 or a 9 or a 0.
Right.
You just have to sort of, well, I hope it's a 5. If you're doing that to me, I'm going to get beat.
Yeah.
If you're going to put a 4.
Or a 3. Or
a 3
off.
At the end of the price of the car, whether I'm playing Golden Road or Lucky 7, I'm going to lose. Yeah. Because I am not expecting that. Why? What kind of car price ends in 3?
Right. That's not how it should work.
So I'm with your friend on taping that show.
All right. Yeah.
I get it. I think I might start doing it again.
It's still on at 11 a.m. I don't even know.
Yes, I think it is.
I mean, that's something.
It's quite a run.
Yes.
Chris, what's up?
You're not going to believe this, but I used to get my mom to set up my dad's 8mm camera and film The Price is Right. And then I would come home and watch it and rewind it on the camera. And I did this every day for, I bet you I did it for 10 years.
You mean setting a camera up across the room?
A movie camera in front of the television and film the television.
Can people hear the buzzes and zaps that are happening in my brain as it melts?
How great is this?
It's amazing.
Have you ever done that for anything?
No.
Have you ever set up a camera to record your TV for anything?
It is very likely that Pops Parker has done that for something. I think that probably happened.
Chris, how about you?
That is amazing.
We maybe can ask you anything about that show then, right?
Golden Road, that was one of the best.
Golden Road, like how great was a show when it started with Golden Road? Right out of the box.
It was awesome.
Right out of the box. Oh, thank you, Chris.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for calling us.
Chris, by the way, I know him. He's 26. Young guy.
All right.
Golden Road.
Hey, Price is Right knows no age.
Yes.
I don't know.
Is he right?
No, probably not.
The shell game was also good. The ball would be under one of the shells, and you had to correctly guess the prices of smaller things to get more guesses so that you could lift all the shells.
Yeah. I didn't do a lot of watching of The Price is Right with Dave. Even after that, it was a little awkward.
Yeah. Well, this was not at all the plan, but we've been talking for 20 minutes about recording things and watching The Price is Right. That happens. I'm sorry, or I'm not sorry. It was fun. 803-0550. If you're mad about it, you know, I'm sorry to you for being mad about it. It happens on this show from time to time. We were talking about Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, that's right. That's where we meant to pick up.
We'll pick up things on Melvin Gordon. Or talk more about The Price is Right. You never know. We'll have the update for you. That'll definitely be about sports after the commercials. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, last year, like going back and watching film, I didn't take many hits running the football. I got down, I got out of bounds. There's a couple times where I try to put my shoulder down and run over a cornerback or, you know, try to jump over a linebacker. But times I took hit when I was rolling to the right or rolling to the left, trying to find somebody downfield, holding the ball an extra second, and that's when I get hit from the side, landed on. That, those are the type of plays where, you know, live for another down.
Josh Allen there on a Westwood One broadcast. Ross Tucker with us earlier. We may replay this at the end of the show, talking about Allen and running. And I was a little surprised to hear that concern. You've heard it for years with any quarterback. And here's Allen, who's so big. I think we're at a point in this league where quarterbacks, of course, running backs, receivers, anybody, I mean, just go down. There are so many injuries. Aren't we at a point where we just don't need the other, like the toughness thing? Remember when Jim Brown, continuing our theme of really, really old references today, remember when Jim Brown used to rag on Franco Harris for running out of bounds?
Yeah.
Like, does that not seem like a lifetime ago? I guess it was, but.
Yeah.
I mean, just all of them, just go down. What do you need? You don't need the hit.
Yeah.
Third and one in the fourth quarter, okay. Or even in the first quarter. But on most plays, save yourself. I've got to think that gets taught at some point.
Yeah.
It's been taught of quarterbacks.
It's definitely taught for quarterbacks, but is everybody else? I think you see from time to time more, you know, mostly more recently, you know, the odd receiver now and then, like he'll like catch the ball, turn, and like look around and
step
and then just go like, this is fine. I'm good here. There's three guys. I'm just gonna. Yeah, fine.
Antonio Brown does it.
Someone touch me. I'm good here. You know, just.
Yep. I can see Watkins doing that a lot. Yeah. Just, you know, end the play.
Right. Right.
That extra yard is not what we're here for.
Right.
We're here for touchdowns.
Right.
And we need our guys to stay healthy. Like, I just think that it's sort of antiquated, that idea that struggle for extra yards. You know, you fumble on those plays too. You take that out of the.
Yeah.
List of possible outcomes.
Yeah. I if I want Allen to not run as much, it's only because I want him to get better at throwing the ball. And I will take if he runs less, it's because he's throwing the ball better or, you know, more accurately, that's better. So he's more productive throwing it. But I'm never, as long as he's healthy enough to do it really effectively, I'm never going to want to like put a number on it. Like if it's there, go, dude. You know, and it's fine. They're giving you, if you can pretty comfortably get to 80 yards, let alone 100, which he did last year, rushing in a game, and you're not passing up passing plays to do it. And, you know, it gets the job done. I mean, go for it. You know, like, so I don't want to put a throttle on that necessarily or a governor on that, but I want the ball to come out more. You know, like I want the ball to come out more because that's why I paid to get him. Go throw it.
The guy had four games last year where he rushed for at least 95 yards.
Man,
how many games in total did the Bills have where anybody else ran for at least 95 yards? Like did LeSean McCoy possibly not do that at all?
I think the Jet game where he scored right away in a long run and then scored right away is the only game where he would have come close. And okay. I don't remember if he exceeded that. I don't remember if he went for I'm thinking he went for 100 yards that day. It was like that was the day. Like, oh, look, he still exists. Remember him?
Yeah, they with Barkley at quarterback, they blew the Jets out. But Allen had 99 and a touchdown against Jacksonville. While going 8 for 19 for passing at a touchdown, I mean almost just very little. 9 for 135 against Miami, the game they lose close at the end, the pass to Charles Clay.
Right.
9 for 135, then the loss at home to the Jets, 9 for 101 and a touchdown, Allen, and then in the finale against Miami, 9 for 95, two touchdowns. By the way, just one small point as. The season gets closer and fantasy gets closer. Naturally and rightly, there's a lot written about all the players, Josh Allen included. And I'm just seeing a lot of how he was the top fantasy quarterback, you know, whatever it is, from week 12 on, right? Like he might have been, and that's week 12, week 11 is this Jacksonville game. So I mean, week 11 on, whatever it is. And the rushing stats, and all of those are from week 11 on, those games, have a lot to do with that. Week 17, be careful when you're reading that stuff to think about whether, if you care about it in the first place, to think about whether week 17 should be important in that. That game against the Dolphins, I mean, Allen had four touchdowns or five touchdowns in that game. Whatever, it was two rushing and three passing in that game. It's also a pick six. I mean, it was like a super easy day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, week 17 is kind of a different animal. Like, it counts, but it's especially in terms of fantasy because almost no leagues even go to week 17. It's not something I want to take too seriously. But it was a game.
Yeah.
It did happen.
Yeah.
It was a pretty embarrassing day for Miami.
It was not a good day for Miami. It was a good day for him. You can do what you want with it, you know? I still, regardless of who you're playing, like for him and what their mood is or what their mindset is, like, did you throw good balls? You know, because his problem to me is it's not really like the level of competition necessarily. It's can you find the guy that's open and hit him? And if you did that effectively, there's going to be opportunities to do that whoever you play, whenever in the season, I think. Certainly other teams are harder than others. Some are harder than others. But, you know, he threw good passes. That's it. That's the thing I need him to do. And sure, you know.
There were both that day.
Sure, there were. Yeah. There's probably always going to be.
That's right. That's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be perfect.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to McCoy's like game logs from last year to see like that Jet game. I want to know now, but I've been stumbling along over here trying to do it.
Joe, LeSean McCoy, 95 yards rushing in a game last year, over under one.
Under. The Jet game would be the only one I think.
The Jet game is 113.
One is the number then?
And the other high on the year is 85 in the Tennessee game.
Okay, you guys are right.
So,
would any other running back have done it? Ivory?
He had a couple of big receptions on the year, but I don't think rushing he would have got there. So total yardage, I would say he maybe got there once or twice, but not rushing.
Okay.
Great. I'll get back to you in about 8 minutes with Chris Ivory's game logs from last year.
Just take your time.
I'll just Google that now and see if I can find that on anything.
Joe, what do you think about Melvin Gordon? And this situation here, we've been talking about a lot today. So the Chargers may have this year's Le'Veon Bell on their hands with Gordon. And I think Gordon would look at Bell as, I don't want to say a role model, but as somebody who beat the game. That he sat out the year, he stuck to his guns and got a contract from the Jets. It might not be that easy for Gordon, like he can't sit out the year and then just go to free agency. He'd still be the Chargers' property.
Right.
Right? So it's not like he could just walk next year, but how seriously would you take the possibility that this happens again?
See, I would want to say that he's not going to go through it as much as Bell. Like, to me, that takes a special type of character and person to sit out an entire year like that. Plus, I mean, it was almost like a final straw situation with Bell because he had been in the news for years looking for a new contract. And there was other stuff, too. There was injuries and suspensions. But, like, he had been looking for a new contract for years, and this is kind of new with Gordon. So,
yep.
If I'm the Chargers, like, almost what Ross Tucker said last hour, like, are you going to sit out more than two, three games if you even get there?
Gordon is getting a big raise already this year.
Right.
He's
making half of what he's already made in his career.
Yeah, he's making over $5 million this year, and he just made like 1 point something last year.
And on the other end of it, if I'm the Chargers, like me personally, I've never really loved the player. Like,
I agree.
He's never been efficient until last season. So 1 of 4 years, you've been like a truly above average running back in terms of efficiency, and I got to pay you now because of that 1 year. Like, if I'm the Chargers,
no
it's,
way.
It's a way...
Yep.
It's way easier for me to know what I'm going to do if I'm them, because I'm just saying, you're either playing for me at this cap hit, or we're just not going to do anything. Or maybe I would even trade him, depending on what you
see. Though, like the trade, that might be what the player is hoping for. Where are we though on this topic? Like, are there teams who are going to trade for Gordon and pay him. I guess you don't need to do that. You're just dealing with the Chargers. So if the Chargers felt, and I don't expect this either. I think we all agree on this. But if the Chargers felt compelled, depends on the offer, I guess, to trade the player, that team doesn't have to sign him. They can hire him under the money he's getting, but that money isn't good enough for him to play for L.A.
Right.
So maybe he doesn't play for that team either. Then if that's the case, this other team would want to sign Melvin Gordon to what, 3 years for $35 million or something like that?
That would maybe be more similar to Antonio Brown getting traded. It's like, yeah, you're trading for Antonio Brown, but you're trading for Brown and a new contract.
Right. You're gonna have to do it with a contract extension attached to it.
Or Cowboy Dan isn't coming.
Right.
That's right. Cowboy Dan is not coming to your party if you don't pay him.
At this point, too, because when I've thought about, like, hey, is there a team out there that might give you a draft pick if you wanted to move on from McCoy? There's not a lot of teams out there that, like, need that featured back.
Why would anyone do it?
Tampa's the only team I can keep convincing myself, like, they should do something like that, like, that they should add someone in their backfield. But, I mean, if they didn't do it yet, they might feel comfortable not doing it.
Yeah, like, that's the team for McCoy that I hear the most often is the Buccaneers because of Bruce Arians and veterans.
And they don't really have much of anything in their backfield.
It's Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, right? Or there's a new guy, Bruce Anderson, right? Tampa Bay, a rookie. But Ronald Jones is last year's, a second-round pick last year? He's still there. It didn't go well. And then Barber. I mean, LeSean McCoy, in my opinion, is not an upgrade over anybody, though. Like, at this stage of his career, I would not want to pay extra to have him over any of those, over, like, you know, even Peyton Barber, I think I wouldn't.
I think if a team were to really value him, I think it would have to be that you think you can really get him off as your receiving option out of, like, third down, like almost like maybe what the Bills are hoping Yeldon is for them here.
Yeah, trade for Yeldon.
Which is weird that you've got, like, McCoy here already and they haven't really gotten him. He's not really done that much. I feel like he did a lot more of that in Philadelphia. And I'm not sure if that lines up, but I feel like I've been wanting more from him receiving.
Yeah, he has not delivered big receiving numbers.
Maybe that's just not something he's going to do ever again, or maybe it's just how he's been utilized here. But if a team were to find a need for him, like you're saying, I doubt that they'd go, you know, an injury could make that, you know, could change this. But that he's an upgrade over the guy we were planning to have be our number one guy or either of the guys we're going to have share the load, probably not. But if we get him on the field for third downs and just throw him the ball six times a game, like can he really get off on that? Like maybe. Like maybe he can be really good at that. The limited wear and tear, I don't know. I mean, I'm grasping at straws to find value there.
2017, McCoy had 59 catches for 448 and two touchdowns. That's his highest Bills total. He had years above that, or at least 1 year above that with Philadelphia. Yeah. And to me, like, that's okay. That's a higher number than I would have guessed, but I still just think it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, for the overall volume he gets.
It's higher than, I don't think I would have said it the way I said it if I would have thought 59 was the number. You know what I mean? Like it's higher than I thought too.
A little less than four per game. He played every game that year. Yeah. Got hurt in the finale.
Do we need it? Ivory had 81 yards against Indianapolis. That was his season high last year. He had 126 total yards in the game, the Minnesota game. He had a 55-yard reception in that game. 70 yards total receiving.
Remember that play?
56. Yeah.
Nobody on the defense is on the screen.
Right.
There was another play like that with him, I think, against Miami. That might have even been the last game of the season.
Maybe.
That happened twice with him. Yeah.
So Allen is the only Bill to rush for 100 last year, and he did it twice.
No, McCoy did it against
the Jets. Oh, McCoy against the Jets. Right. Sorry, of course.
And Joe, you're right. Ivory had a 46-yard reception against the Dolphins in that finale, too. That's the one you're thinking of. That was similar to the Minnesota one.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, these numbers are okay, but it's just not like he's elite in this area, is all I guess is right to say. I mean, some of the guys now, McCaffrey had 100 catches. Some of the guys now, the running backs, are really catching the ball. Barkley was over 90, I think. So this is all right. Last year, McCoy was at 34. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe. we've got a game coming up in 15 minutes involving touches.
Look at that.
You want to.
It's the first I've heard of a game today.
You want to be careful when it's touches. You want to just think about, are you being appropriate? We'll have an appropriate game about touches coming up in 15 minutes. What?
Right.
Got to be, you want to make sure, got to think of everything.
Yep, that's right.
So that's coming up and involves running backs. And so, yeah. And Joe, are you on tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay, no all-star game or anything?
Nope.
No triple A, no single A.
Is there a double A? I don't know.
Double A.
We don't have it if
Major League
is happening.
All that stuff, no home run derby, all that stuff is over.
This Coastal League thing happen where they're going to try to steal first? Did that happen yet, by the way?
The Atlantic League?
The Atlantic League, that was.
Yeah, their bunting derby is going to be on tonight.
Korea has that.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw. Footage,
I love that.
Yeah, right. I saw some footage of that.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog,
on the field for guys to try to.
Yes, right. Love it. Could have seen that on the Price is Right. Mm. Could have been a game. Sneaky Joe as well. This is WGR.
All right, one of Buffalo's favorite events is coming up. Brews on the Water is set for Gratwick Waterfront Park in North Tonawanda Saturday, the 27th of July. There'll be breweries from all over the U.S. pouring their best beers. You can enjoy games, shopping, vendors, and live music performances from American Authors and In the Valley Below. For tickets and details, hit up the website WGR550.com.
Maybe not for long today, but I just had a thought listening to you talk about one of these young kids that your son knows who plays hockey and how good he is. Don't you think, and we're already watching this play out in the NHL already, don't you think the level of play is just improving exponentially?
Yes.
And when you watch the kids, your sons around, including him, I mean, they probably look like they should be pros. And I think that there can be a trap that's possible, but... Yep. Just watching Home Run Derby the other night, they were talking about, and I've thought this, and I just nodded my head in agreement of it, like, look how much better these guys are now than they used to be.
Yeah.
And the point makes logical sense because of all the improvements in training, the much greater talent pool with the money that there is at the other end. There's just that many more people who would try for it.
Yep.
It just all makes logical sense that the play would just be exponentially getting better year after year.
I mean, I wouldn't want to make any kind of a leap about like how many of the kids that I've watched are going to play. Certainly, when Owen was at the national camp week before last, there's kids there that are definitely going to play in the league. I mean, it's the best 17-year-old kids in America, so there's going to be a handful of those guys that are going to make the NHL, like almost without question. So, like, there's that. But even, you know, just lower tier showcase type stuff that he does, that I just watch the play, and it's how the game is being coached and how it's being taught. The guys know they have to be capable of doing something positive with the puck when they get it. They just do not just throw it away. Nobody. I mean, occasionally there's just nothing else to do and everybody's tired and you just got to get it out of the zone. And like, that's how it goes.
I did see Joe do that once yesterday.
But I'm telling you, it is such a rarity. Like, defensemen all have to be able to skate and turn back quickly and use their partner off the wall behind the net. Just try to find a way out to keep, you want to keep the puck. I'm not just throwing it high and hard off the glass. You're not playing at that level if that's how you play. You got to be able to make plays with the puck. And that is where the game is. I'd say it's going. I think it's already there. Like, that's what the NHL looks like a lot too. But I'm telling you, at the high levels in these ages going up, 15, 16, 17, that I've been watching now the last couple of years, like, that's all it is, man. Sioux Greyhounds training camp. Like, everybody on the ice, I'm sure they've been told by the coach, we need you to make a play. You don't just throw the puck away, you can go home. This is not going to work. You got to be able to have the skill set to skate away from trouble and make plays quickly to alleviate pressure and find someone who can make a play if you can't. That's it.
Yeah, it just really seems right. All sports, guys just getting better and better. I think it's always been true, but I think, again, exponentially because of just everything that's the infrastructure of sports and training to get to the pros. just doesn't even compare with.
No.
What? Me, I couldn't really say. I mean, it would vary from sport to sport, too. But from when I was a kid, you know.
Oh,
man. Just worlds different. All right, we've got a game coming up. Do you know your football? That's really what this is about to determine. How well you know football things.
Good to know.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe as well. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.